Advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
Welcome to the Lindley Evans Music Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and this week with the music, it is the fabulous Choir of Man. Wait till you hear them. Our panel, Tommy Dean, Gene Kitson, Shannon Byrne.
That's kind of nice.
And our audience this week from Coffs Harbour, Bathurst, Falconbridge, Darwin, Sutherland and Southampton. But first, here is the news from nowhere. Both Gladys Berejiklian and Michael Daly seem to have extraordinarily good aim. Both are throwing bucketfuls of cash at the electorate without ever hitting me. Does anyone else have this feeling of standing in a tsunami of cash and yet remaining strangely dry? Too young for the National's regional travel card, too old for Gladys's kids' sports voucher, geographically misplaced for Labor's M4 cashback. Are you in this category?
Yes.
Have they entirely missed you?
Yes.
Doesn't anyone want the vote of an ageing PAYE taxpayer with two grown-up kids and a drinking problem? 50 cents off the price of a good quality Hunter Shiraz, and I'm yours. Anybody? Anybody? Both sides have embraced the cashback scheme. Now, once upon a time, the government supplied services. Now they privatise the service. The consumer pays an upfront fee to the commercial operator, and then by registering your details with My Service New South Wales, the taxpayer is able to claim back from other taxpayers the money that the first taxpayer has just spent on a thing that used to be free. Does anybody else think this is insane?
Yes.
The perfect example, of course, is the M5 cashback. Old model, government builds road. You drive on road. New model, private company builds road, charges toll, sends quarterly bill, at which point you claim it back once you've established my Service New South Wales account, which only takes 3 weeks of collecting the paperwork. My Service New South... Have you seen how they spell it? It's all the words are squeezed together. They're so busy they haven't got time for a space between My Service New South Wales. That's how busy they are. Really, you couldn't make this stuff up. Maybe what we need is some new policies. Here are a few of mine. You might choose to vote for me tomorrow. Education policy. The more absurd the school uniform, the less funding you receive. This is the easy way, ladies and gentlemen, to separate the overfunded, really posh schools from the rest. We get a panel of citizens, show them a picture of your uniform. If they laugh, you get stung. If the boys are wearing boaters, forget it. Population policy. Encourage procreation by making Australian men more attractive. Under our program, every heterosexual man will be dressed, buffeted and styled by a team of experts. Gone the ugly shirts, gone the colour clash pants and the smelly nylon jackets that don't really fit. Result, Australian women won't be able to stop themselves. Demographic crisis, what crisis? Apprenticeships, a tool bounty for young apprentices, except the free tools will be handed out by the nation's householders once the tradies actually turn up. Transport. The view has formed within Sydney's eastern suburbs that if one puts on one's hazard lights, one can park anywhere one wants. Our policy, disable the hazard lights on any vehicle garaged in the seat of Wentworth. It's good, isn't it? Arts policy. Interested in arts policy?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Special funding will apply to any citizen who agrees not to write a novel, form a band, or describe themselves as a filmmaker. Law and order. We'll continue the war on crime but target new offenders, such as people who eat half the pineapple cream chocolate, then put it back in the box. Or the customers who go through the 12 items or less queue, even though they have 15 items. And no, madam, four different sorts of lollies and biscuits do not count as one item just because they're from the same food group. Finally, health. a free bottle of subsidised Hunter Shiraz, provided as a medicinal top-up, plus free Medicare gold treatment for any 50-something taxpayer who, after a night drinking heavily subsidised Hunter Shiraz, may feel like he's suddenly 70-something. Come on, somebody, anybody, bribe me! I'm yours! And that's the news from nowhere.
Vote one, the lover.
Vote one. Vote one, Hunter Shiraz.
Oh, yum. Yes, I'm feeling thirsty just hearing you talk about that. I know. Speaking of school uniforms,
yes.
You know, absurd school uniforms. Yeah. You just reminded me of when I first went to Rosebud High, and Rosebud High, which is a real
really
high
weird,
school.
Yes, really, yeah.
Why are you putting your hands up? Did you go to Rosebud High? Oh, you went past it, yeah. With the doors locked, yeah. I hope.
It's the best relationship to have with Rosebud High.
When I first went there, they just got this new uniform for the high school, and it was this superb silver frock with little tiny gold and green sailing ships on it, because Rosebud was named after a sailing ship that actually wrecked itself on the local rocks because the captain was pissed. So that's
on the Hunter Shiraz.
Yeah, that's right. So, but this uniform was made out of something like some synthetic, and we didn't even have steam irons back in those days. They weren't quite on the stove, but they were. So the first thing you did when you washed your uniform and put the iron on it is it just all burnt. It burnt. It turned into, like, you know when you put paper chip bags in ovens and it just... And so we just... what would look like a beautiful uniform just turned into the shabbiest... We all had iron marks with all the holes, you know, like that, you know, the arrow with the holes.
Shrink, wouldn't it? It would become a miniskirt, wouldn't it?
We did it on purpose after that. But it was the most absurd uniform ever. It was just ridiculous. Of course, they only had it for 1 year. Then they went back to a check cotton, something like that.
Good on check cotton. Now let's check you up with this week's news. Who was both admonishing and demolishing in the run-up to tomorrow? Who was admonishing and demolishing?
This is right in your wheelhouse.
People in the front row are yelling out, Gladys.
They're tearing down your temple.
Well, they are, but, you know, I actually, during the week, I went to the cinema and I thought, if only I had the Sydney Football Stadium seats to sit on. Because I don't know if you've been to the cinema lately, but some cinema seats, I'm not sure if I'm going to walk out with a disease. And I couldn't tell if it was wet, if it had just been, you know, steamed to be cleaned. Anyway, I did think this is the one place I thought the Sydney Football Stadium seating could be used and recycled.
The Sydney Football Stadium seating is like Gene Kitson's uniform. It's inflammable.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. But at least it'd be easy to clean because, yes, I've sat through longer football matches than the movie I went to see, so I knew it was at least comfortable. But obviously this week we're talking and it's all about the Sydney Football Stadium being demolished. The Sydney Olympic Stadium is being refurbished. The debate is whether or not it should have been done before this state election. Didn't Michael Daly try and have a press conference outside? And I'm pretty sure you could probably just see inside the stadium that men and women on the worksite were just banging everything that they could possibly get their hand on because there was a horrific sound coming out that disturbed him. But I don't think they realised how much has been demolished. So whoever gets into power, if it is the opposition who said they will stop the demolition, it's too late. So I don't know about you guys, but I would love to see the seats at the cinemas. That's all I want them to be recycled.
But there was there was demolishing, but there was also admonishing. Was there not? Admonishing.
Well, yeah, but I was going to start with the demolishing.
Okay, go.
Well, the demolishing is absurd. I mean, it's as bad as, you know, synthetic school uniforms. It's completely absurd. Are we really having an election about knocking down a stadium when it's already half knocked down? Yeah. I mean, are the other lot promising to put it back exactly as it was or have a half a shiny new stadium and half of the empty old one, half up, half down, half full, half empty? There is a temptation to say half-assed about the whole squabble, but that would lower the tone.
Can't we force Alan Jones to rebuild it at gunpoint?
You know, Gladys also said that a few million is spare change, which is not a fabulous argument. She might as well say, hey, we've got government departments spending this much on pastries. You know, she should be skiting about the new stadium having wind-powered pie warmers or something.
Oh, yeah. Solar panels.
Solar panels, wind power. In fact, speaking of seats, if you had a wind powered pie warmer, you might be able to use the seats for renewable energy because you could harvest the wind from the people who eat the pies.
Or BYO chair.
Or BYO chair.
BYO chair. Well, you could stop the demolishment if it is opposition and it's just BYO chair. Just bring along a chair.
That's right.
Certain height restriction, but BYO chair. That could work.
That'd be nice.
Okay, but in honour of ABC Balance, both sides have had a problem because the stadiums aren't going very well for the Premier according to the polls, but the opposition leaders had a problem too, hasn't
it? Yeah, well, Mr Daly's lapsed into saying what he thinks. Only
always
reminds
a mistake.
Us. I know, boy. Boy, was it a lapse. But I think it only reminds us that Mark Latham could hold the balance of power in the upper house, and which would be a little bit like giving your ID and your visa card to a teenager. It'd be a little bit unpredictable. And imagine Mark Latham apologising to anyone who might feel offended. He'd apologise to anyone who wasn't offended and he'd say he'll try harder next time. So that's the admonishing part.
That's the admonishing. Whereas others have admonished the opposition leader. Tony, you've been observing it all.
No, I don't understand any of it. all I know is, as a fan of the Sydney Swans who goes often to the Sydney Cricket Ground, I'm happy to see the football stadium destroyed because it cuts off a lot of the walk to get around to the backside. So I don't know whose idea was to knock it down, but if I could vote, I'm with them.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to put it back up, and then I'm not voting for them.
Because you never saw the point of it in the first place.
I never went to it. It was literally the giant bowl I had to walk around to get to Gate G.
All right, who tailored her response in order to take on the trolls this week?
I'll go with this one. Taylor Harris, she plays for Carlton in the AFLW, so the women's football. Brisbane Lions, a former player, absolute star of the game as well. And she has this very unique, amazing, graceful but also very athletic kicking style. And during the week, I'm sure you would have all seen the picture of her right foot. It's up over her head and her left foot is completely off the ground, tucked up.
She's flying.
She's absolutely flying. She's booted the ball 50 metres and, you know, part of the trolls were like, oh, you know, what a terrible kick. Well, it actually went through the goals, 6 points. So, you know, their argument from the start was not factual. But, the poor, poor woman got the most horrific troll comments that you could ever imagine from this beautiful athletic photo. And, we will always remember that Michael Wilson took this amazing photo that captured everything about women's sport, but then also brought out the worst that women in sport are dealing with daily.
But by the end of the week, it's a more positive story, isn't it? Because she was so defiant and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. She went on, radio and she said what it felt like for her. You know, the stuff that was directed to her was actually sexual abuse and the AFL Integrity Unit is going to look at it. And I just really hope that anyone, if they have an AFL or sporting membership, it's ripped up and that they are banned from sport because you can't be doing that in society, but then you can't say that you're a supporter of sport because you should be men and women. But it is an amazing thing that, it really captures those iconic moments. You think back, you know, Nicky Winmar, it's actually a month shy of 26 years ago that he lifted his shirt when he played for St Kilda and pointed to his skin and then kissed to the crowd, the opposition that was giving him grief. Wayne Ludby took that photo and the Gladiators photo, which is actually now the NRL trophy for those that don't know. It was the two captains from the Western Suburbs and St George embracing after a horrifically muddy grand final at your Sydney Cricket Ground, Tommy. And it's embraced and, it was John O'Grady who took that iconic sporting photo. So that photo picture now, if you can get your hands on it, I know newspapers had put it out as a double spread, it will become the most iconic sport photo of, I think, the next 10 years at least. But for women's sport, it is a very pivotal moment. The funny thing is, though, she's giving some boots away from a sponsorship and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of hamstrings done trying to replicate. It's the best replication of her kick and I just feel sorry that I think a few physios will be saying, look, this Taylor Harris phenomenon and we've got a lot of business out of it from a hammies. But I do, it reminds me of the gladiator photo of Norm Provan and Arthur Summons. Arthur Summons was from Wagga Wagga and I actually met him and he came in for an interview. And now he's quite a short stature and I decided that it would be funny if we replicated the photo. So I asked him to tuck under my wing and I got a photo out and I pretended I was Norm Proven and I got people to take a photo. And at that time I thought it was the funniest thing ever, but I don't think he appreciated that, you know, a near 6 foot lady wanted to take a photo and be like the NRL Premiership trophy. So that's my claim to fame of a sporting icon photo, and I tried to replicate
it. Gina started in a grim way, but by the end of the week it was great to see how defiant she was.
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, because Channel 7 had taken down, had bowed to the trolls and taken the photo down. And those trolls, you know, they're just from the dark ages. And I'm talking like the 60s and 70s here, because they really are. I mean, when I played AFL at primary school, Lilydale Primary School, in the 60s, and we played and it was the best game. Boys and girls played together. And then when you hit puberty, like after primary school, you weren't allowed to play, girls weren't allowed to play AFL anymore. So she's just this pioneer and inspiring woman who reminds us really how far we've come. Because after all, you couldn't play footy anymore as a girl because of all that physical contact, like we were going to get it somewhere else, but we didn't even think of setting up our own female footy team. Like, we didn't even think of that because
you could have been a contender.
I could have been a contender.
What position?
I don't know, but I'm a phenomenal drop kick.
Oh, do you?
I do. I do.
You're told you're a drop kick, or you do a phenomenal drop kick?
And settle. I've taught boys in my streets, young kids, because I'm in New South Wales now. They, you know, the dads don't know how to kick AFL balls, but I do because I grew up with it. So I've taught the local kids how to do AFL. But
men of New South Wales, thank you for your efforts, Jean Kitson.
Well, then what I was just going to say is that, you know, after you hit puberty, then your role, a woman's role, a girl's role in the AFL was to get into whoever's car was available, drive to the boundary of the local oval, and then when the boys kicked a goal, the girls could press the horn, toot the horn. And then if their balls went out of bounds, we'd get their balls. That's when we weren't waxing boards, we were rounding up wayward balls. And then if the boys got hurt, they would come in the car and they'd lie with their head in your lap. So that was our role then. So we've come... I know there are these disgusting trolls, and, you know, and we should legislate against them, and they can be found and they should be found, and they should have everything removed from them, not just their membership. Or maybe just their membership.
There you go, a short history of the last 5 decades by Gene Kitson. Simon, you're a big AFL fan, of course.
Big AFL fan. Because I don't pay a lot of attention to the world, I was quite shocked to go back on this and discover that horrible things had happened. I saw the photo when it was first published, and I reacted the way I thought most of the world would react. Whoa, that's amazing. Yeah. And then to find out that horrible things had happened around it was quite a shock.
Yeah.
It just seemed to represent everything sport is. So I don't know why a certain group of people made an argument to somehow separate it out as if it wasn't enough. In fact, I've just recently seen they've taken the photo and sort of re-art graphicked it. I don't know what the word is for it. But very much in the same colors and idea as the Michael Jordan, Air Jordan look.
Yeah.
And it looks even better than Air Jordan. Like, I would now buy shoes based on this that I never would have bought. And I just...
They could be called tailor-made shoes.
Tailor-made.
Very good.
It's so sweet. My point is, I just understand how something so amazing can be turned into something horrible, and I'm glad to see that it was then
refolded back into something even more amazing.
So good on her.
You're listening to Thank God It's Friday, ABC Local Radio. Now, a study from Cambridge University has this week determined that people do not become adults until they are 30 years old, this when you consider their brain development. Is this right? When do you think people become adults? And what was the moment in which you believe you achieved, finally, adulthood? Tommy Dean.
Well, there's part of me that thought that I achieved adulthood when I was 10.
Is that when you got the voice?
The voice. My voice changed and I got my own bicycle. That opened up the world to me. And then I got lost and had to call mommy to come get me. And I started thinking maybe I wasn't an adult then. Then in high school, I graduated high school at 18. That is the legal definition of adult. So I promptly went and registered to vote. in American elections. And then only a month later, the first state election I was allowed to vote in, I lost my registration card and didn't vote, which set sort of a feeling I've had about politics ever since. But I also felt maybe I missed out on my adulthood there. Then at 21, which is the legal age of drinking in America, I thought now for sure I was an adult. So I promptly went to a pub and I had a pitcher of margaritas. I'm not sure what happened after that. But it didn't feel like something an adult would do. So
you had to delay it again.
Delay it again. At 23, I met my first wife and got engaged to her after 2 weeks. So I thought, that's surely what an adult would do. And then I moved to Australia. Very adult behavior. And then I did, I thought, at least learn a little bit about what it was to be a grown-up and left her. Because she wanted to own a house and have children, and I wasn't ready for that, so that made me think maybe I'm still not an adult yet. At the age of 30, when adulthood should have kicked in.
According to Cambridge University.
According to Cambridge University. That's when I met my second wife.
So you mean your current wife?
My current wife.
It's just I don't know if he's achieved adulthood yet.
Good point. My current wife. That went very well. up until right about now. But I still didn't feel like I was an adult, and then my son was born. And that, I think that's the moment, truly. So yeah. He was born in 2000, so I was, 32. So for me, I think adulthood, 32.
32.
32.
That's where we're setting it.
32.
32.
Or children.
Shannon?
Well, obviously, I took this literally. It's a PG show, so I've got parental guidance in the crowd.
So your parents are actually here tonight?
Yes, my parents are here tonight. Yeah, yeah. And so I thought, PG, let's bring them along. It's cheap babysitting too, because obviously if you want to be in the crowd, it's free. Make sure that you register. And I thought, well, I don't have to give them an activity. They can just come along, sit in the crowd. There's free water. There's a toilet. There's air conditioning. Yeah. But for me...
Are you going to give them dinner afterwards?
Maybe. Yeah.
If they laugh at your jokes.
Probably a few more laughs. They're right in my eye line. Dad, pick up your form, please. Mum will laugh at anything. She just thinks it's all funny. So that's great. But for adulthood, for me, I moved out of home and left the Northern Territory just as I finished school. So I thought I was pretty big and brave moving to Adelaide. And from Darwin, that's a huge move. I was like, whoa, there's more than two traffic lights. There's a couple of roundabouts. There's more than two drinking establishments. I've really made it. But then when you do realise, you've got to ring Mum and Dad and just say, oh... Look, you couldn't spare me a few dollars this week, could you? Curry three nights in a row, leftovers, not great. And then I moved to Wagga Wagga in my late 20s, and I realised when your mum comes with you to move to Wagga Wagga, because you're not sure what Wagga Wagga actually looks like, that then again I realised I hadn't quite made it. And then, here I am.
Still requiring your parents'
age, and my parents are here. And
but the money one's a funny one because the kids, of course, are always coming in. Dad, can I get $5 for this? Dad, I need $20 for the activity. Can I get $50 for something at school? And that's when part of me feels so adult. Yeah, there's your money for your school, and there's your activity. And then a couple minutes later, hey, Mom, it's Tommy. Can I have some money too? It's for the grandkids.
Yeah. I've not hit it, I don't think.
Dear Mum, no man, your son. That old call.
I'm ringing on behalf of.
Jean Kitson, where do you think adulthood is achieved?
Well, I'm relieved about the 30.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so relieved because I thought it was like 18 or 21 or something. So now I know with 30 that you reach an adult. That explains a lot. It explains, haircuts, blue cocktails, herpes, wearing a sarong to an interview and thinking it's appropriate. So this is quite a good news to me. But then again, the adult in me says, how do these people measure adulthood anyway? We are supposed to believe this because it has the word study and Cambridge University in it. Another study will tell you that Cambridge University is most famous for producing Soviet spies with first-class honours in lying. There's the real problem, you know. Adulthood is when you first start asking, is this bullshit? Only in a really nice way, yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, you know, like, so a quick test of whether you're an adult is when you see an article that begins, research shows, and if you think this is probably self-serving bullshit, you're growing up. And if you think, wow, researchers, they must know what they're talking about, you are regressing the full Benjamin Button. But don't even ask me when I grew up.
Yeah. Not still,
I'm an adult when I need a nice Hunter Shiraz. Hmm.
Have you achieved it yet, adulthood?
It comes and goes. If I want to drink, I'm an adult. If I want to stay up late, I'm a child and I'll stay up as long as I like, even if I just can't sleep and I'm in a really bad mood. And if I see a block of chocolate, I think I'll just eat the whole lot because no one can tell me no. So, I can't, yeah, I've got it all going on.
But adulting's hard. I find it hard some days. I sometimes just think, you know, I've got out of bed, I've got to do the breakfast shift, the door's still squeaking, I've got to get, you know, onto that, I'll put the,
WD-40.
Yeah, I'll put that out.
No, you get your dad to, he can do
well,
the WD-40.
Well, yeah, they're going to be busy next week, don't tell them. You know, and then you've got to, then you've got to remind yourself that, you know, you've got leftovers in the fridge, so you unlock the door and you go back in the house and then you realise that the bills are due, there's one that you've got to have paid by 11 o'clock so the money can transfer over, right, I'll do that. And then you get out to the car and you're like, where did I park the car? Because you're in a place where there's no parking and you actually walk around flashing your key going, I actually don't remember which street my car's on. Then you get to work and then you've got to, do I have a coffee now? Do I have a coffee later? And this is all before 8 a.m. So some days I just walk out and I'm thinking, gee, adulting's hard. It really is.
Why did your parents just run from the room then?
Yeah. Probably to go to the toilet.
Always.
Before you hand over that bill. Hey, are you ready for the Wheel of Death, ladies and gentlemen? The Wheel of Death! When our lovely audience came in...
You know, it just occurred to me that this is the kind of activity an adult would not take part in.
The Wheel of Death.
This sounds like childish stuff we're about to do.
It's childish stuff. When our lovely audience came in, they threw these random topics onto this chocolate wheel. Today's topics are Puppuccino, you know, those coffees for dogs, Rabbit, Supermoon, Booty, The West, Australia, is that right?
Sure.
Antarctica. Glamping, cyclone, radio, asparagus, rivers, metro, rain, tennis. And we're back to Puppuccino. Any of those fill you full of fear?
I'm not real fond of camping, so I'm assuming glamping. I'm looking forward to that if I get the idea of what glamour camping
is. It's luxurious camping, yeah.
But it's still camping.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, to me, camping is like sleeping on the couch. You know, downstairs. Ooh, I'm out in the wild tonight.
Okay, but what if you were in an African safari and it was all very luxurious and you could hear the sounds of the forest, the elephants trumpeting, the lions growling? That would be fantastic.
Yeah, or I could be on my couch with a David Attenborough special on.
Round and round and round it goes where it stops. No
That's
one knows. Yeah. Today's topic is rain, ladies and gentlemen. Rain.
Ooh.
Rain. The rain that
Funny
falls.
You brought up Africa because I bless the rains.
Down.
They groaned because they didn't think of it fast enough. That is my theory. My theory is when an audience groans, it's because they are sad they didn't think of it. Whoa, I should have thought of that. That Toto song is so good. It's so good. Rain is fun. I think rain is sort of like the sound of children's laughter. Sometimes it edifies your soul. Just little glimmers of it. You know, it just gives you the life force that you need to carry on. And then other times, it just won't stop. And you want to call the SES to wrap them in tarps. Stop. It's terrible. I come from a desert country, so rain to us is not, in some ways, dissimilar to the way it happens in this country. You go for many, many months with no rain. And then the rain slams into you in a way that you didn't think rain could come. And it was always interesting how there were two different sets of society. Dry time society seemed to have a certain civility about them, an ability to get around through the standard daytimes of dryness. You knew how to go about your business. Suddenly the rain comes, and I don't know what it is, especially in Sydney. It's really bad in Sydney. It's as if your hands no longer know what the steering wheel's job is. It's like it's, and you just see people marvel with the wheel. I wonder what would happen if I did that. I wonder what would happen if I did that. It goes both ways. Look at all these pedals at my feet. This one in the middle, especially attractive at the moment. Why is the middle pedal so attractive in Sydney during the rain? You get so frightened, mostly. And then there's the curious opposite, because there's always an opposite to balance, and that is the people that see a wall of water on the road in front of them and think, well, the windows are up. I'll just drive into it. There were people in the flood just a couple of days ago, flash floods, were being stranded at the drive-in of a fast food restaurant because the drive-thru flooded, but they still thought, the woman said go to window two. The water says don't go. But the woman said go to window two. That's where my burger is. They drive in. It's crazy. I think I blame Noah. At a time when there was so much rain that he really should have just packed down and waited it out. He got everybody in the car, went for a drive. That was crazy. And he knew everybody. Well, not everybody. Knew two of everybody, but he was a popular fellow. It's nice. I like that it made tin roofs popular.
Yeah. Lovely sound.
Lovely sound. It's a lovely sound. I also lived in the Midwest for a while, and I'll tell you what's not a lovely sound. Is during the hurricane season, or the tornado season, is the sound of a tin roof coming off and flying through the air, sort of like a helicopter blade, not attached to a helicopter. That's a good sound. I've never heard that. That's exciting. It has sort of a ripping sound, then a piercing whine, and then a hilarious thud when it meets something it won't stop. But then, when the rain hits it, delightful again. The world always wraps back around the delightful, in my opinion. It's very exciting. I like sideways rain. That's my favorite. When rain combines with wind to create an impossibility for your eyes to make sense of. That's my favorite. I think that sometimes is how that affects your driving. You're driving, and it makes sense to drive through vertical rain. But then when the rain turns sideways across your windscreen, you think maybe you're up on your side. I need to adjust the car. My favorite thing about rain, and this is a theory I'm working on at the moment, because water bills in Australia, I shouldn't say Australia, in Sydney, my water bill, I've noticed, is getting quite expensive. I put a lot of this down to the fact that my neighbor discovered that my pool hose was connected to his his tap out the front. Once he fixed that problem, I just noticed water costs a lot more than I expected. But I also noticed that my wife, still thinking that the water is free, waters our house. We have a great garden around our house, and by garden, I mean jungle, and by jungle, I mean she wants to feed our house to the world. We will never resell our house. It will just be sucked up by vines and weeds. I don't know what she's planted outside. If you ever come to the house, bring a machete. But she waters all the time. But she waters, and I've just noticed that she'll wait a while because of the nature of the plants that we have. But when she waters, and she waters extensively, the kind of watering where she goes out and says, I'm going to go out and water the garden, and then you think that she left on a trip. Where's your mom, I say, hours later? Oh, she's still outside watering. And then I think of the bill to come in the quarterly, and then the rain comes. The rain always comes a day after my wife was watered the garden for 3 hours. I think this is accelerating the demise of my house, the increase of my bills. But my point is, if you live in a drought-affected area of Australia, you need to get my wife on the phone and bring her to a garden shack near yours, and I'm pretty sure we could solve the problem. And if not, my mother-in-law is a Native American. Two chances.
She'll do a dance.
She'll do a little dance
She'll
for you.
She'll do a dance. Yeah. The wheel of death. Does he die? Does he die?
No.
Does he live?
Yeah.
Did he drown? Drown in rain.
Thank God it's Friday.
That was the other one. I always think of the good one I should have started with at the very end. The one I should have done Toto. What I should have done. Well, you know, Richard. As you know, the rain.
Yeah.
In Spain.
Yeah. Falls mainly.
Falls mainly on the plane. Mm. That's where it falls mainly.
Mainly on the plane. Yeah.
Mainly on the plane.
Is it purple?
That's what I've always liked about Spain.
Is it purple?
Oh, the purple rain.
Yeah.
Oh,
have you seen the purple rain?
Oh, purple rain. I only wanted to see you laughing in the purple rain. Can we erase
purple?
Everything that I said and go back and start again? I should have just quoted rain. I love a rainy night. Such a beautiful sight. I love to hear the rain on the face.
And the rainy night in Georgia, where the great line in that song where it seemed like it was raining all over the world.
Oh, that's good too. That's what I should have done. We should have done country songs.
Yeah.
How about It's Raining Men?
Oh, it is Raining Men.
Raining Men, which is even scarier than the whole helicopter blade thing.
Yeah.
You'd be dodging, there'd be men falling all over.
Well, a lot of them would be overweight, wouldn't they?
Well, the first ones would be.
Yeah, the heavy drops. Heavy drops. Get Grand Prix back in here for that. This is going to be unexpected. There'll be light showers of men in the upper 100 today.
And then there'd be no dancing in the rain.
No dancing in the rain.
Tommy Dean, Gene Kitson and Shannon Burner here on Thank God It's Friday. It's the big vote tomorrow, of course. What state government do we want? In some ways, it seems like a minor issue. Life isn't going to change that much depending on who wins in Macquarie Street. So what are the really big, dramatic issues you'd instead like us to vote on and why? Gene Kitson.
I'd like Iran not to have any nuclear weapons.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you for the applause from that.
Is that a matter?
The other 60 members of the audience would quite like Iran to have you.
And two of them know they already do.
Vlad Putin has just set up his own youth army, and there are some terrible precedents for this, and they didn't end well. China's government surveillance makes Black Mirror look like Aesop's fables. But I don't think the next New South Wales government can do much about these issues.
Possibly not.
Quite frankly.
Possibly not.
So what was the question?
Well,
so that's what I'd like them to do.
Yeah, well, what would you like to be on the ballot? You know, you could walk in tomorrow having, you know, chosen between the Lamington and the strawberry sponge and would say...
Well, speaking of Lamington and strawberry sponge, I would like teachers not to put their nose in primary school lunchboxes.
Do they?
They do. They do. They can... Teachers go in and take out sultanas.
Yeah?
You can't put sultanas in school lunchboxes anymore. And there was a teacher recently who sent a note home to the mother saying, this homemade cookie should not be in this lunchbox.
Ah, the surveillance.
And the surveillance. Yeah. Teachers are not nutritionists. They're not dietitians. They shouldn't be snooping in a lunchbox.
So you're saying...
Parents angry.
You're saying President Xi and his entirely cruel... surveillance system, which you mentioned, is nothing.
That's nothing
on Mrs. Smith from the lower fourth.
To people passing judgment on what you put in your school in the school lunchbox of your child, because even if you took out the cookies and the sultanas, they're going to find M&Ms on the black market at school, and then they'll, you know, after school they'll run to the nearest Lamington shop. So, you know, because that's what prohibition does. And also, you know, you just know, and also it just gets parents' backs up, like, because we know what the kids will eat and what'll end up in the bin, you know. So we just give them homemade cookies. Well, I didn't ever, but but sultanas. We all grew up on sultanas.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes I think it helps because my kids they don't eat sultanas, but they take grapes to school. And then one day we had the teacher get mad, saying you're not supposed to bring sultanas to school. And I was like, we don't give them sultanas. So I'd ask the girls what happened, and then I realized they just. We're leaving the grapes in their bag. That's embarrassing.
Exactly.
What would you like to be voting on tomorrow? The really big issues, Shannon Byrne.
Well, just going on the food, maybe leave onions alone. They're a sacred thing and that they should be at every Bunnings. There's no discussion about whether onions are allowed to be served at a sausage sizzle. So hopefully tomorrow when you're out voting, ask for onions, even if they're not there. just if I think if everybody starts asking for onions, it will just really show that it's an important issue. But also, I would like to see, this obviously the state of cinema chairs upgraded. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've got, you know, it's just fresh in my mind. If they can't get the Sydney Football Stadium chairs in there, I would really just like that, you know.
And if you're voting Liberal in Warringah, make sure Tony Abbott doesn't steal the onion and eat it before you get to
But this feels like true balance at the ABC because I hate the onion and I am against my opponent's idea for the liberalisation of onion. if you vote for me, people will ban the onion at the barbecue because none of those fathers who have been forced to do a barbecue they don't want to work at know how to make them properly. They are burnt. They're cinder lines.
That's
no, the burnt's good. Burnt's
good.
They're
not caramelized. They should be caramelized properly with thyme and onion.
We like
the way the people that love onions.
Burnt onions. They banned the onions, not because they couldn't cook them, but because they were, if they fell on the ground, someone might
And you know why they were on the ground? Because people were flicking them off. Throwing them away. It's just like the onion on a McDonald's burger. It's why? Why? It's to give you something to do first. Open it up, get rid of it, put it back on.
It's interactive.
But can you imagine them worried about the safety of someone slipping on an onion when they sell power saws to people who've never even cut their own toenails? And they're wondering if people are going to hurt themselves on an onion.
Who were the winners and losers of the week? Shannon Byrne.
All right, I'll go... Oh, could be winner or loser, but winner. Look, I'm hoping at 104 I can, just for fun, be arrested by the police. That's what happened during the week. A lady who was 104 years old, Anne Brokenbrow, granted... her wish was granted, and she was charged with being an upstanding citizen. She was even ushered into a police car over in the UK. This is all with to do with International Day of Happiness.
And she had never been arrested in her life.
She'd never been arrested.
She reached 104.
Yep, so the police decided to rock up and grant her wish, and that was actually her wish. She wished to be arrested.
Because it was her one experience that she hadn't had in her life.
You know? Yeah, but why does she waste a wish? Just throw a rock through a window. Wish for world peace and then smash a copper's car.
So I think, you know, she's a winner. She got her wish granted, but, you know, yeah, the cops. Well, how was your day at work, love? Oh, I arrested a 104-year-old lady for being an upstanding citizen. I wish she'd just smashed our car or slashed our tyres.
And so she's the loser, winner? She's the winner. She's the winner. Who's the
she's
loser?
She's the winner. Obviously, the people trolling, you know, it will catch up with them. Being a sports reporter, you know, it's a serious note. But the losers are the losers and they will all be found out. And, yes, we'll be a better place because of this.
We're drummed out of the game. Jean, who are the winners and losers?
The losers are people who watch that toxic show Maths. And I did until it turned really toxic.
So what show? What show?
Maths. Married at First Sight.
Oh, right.
Oh, didn't you know what I was talking about?
How?
Don't you watch it? Are you crazy?
How hip is Gene Kitson?
So I thought it was a show about arithmetic and I was really frightened.
Yeah, Maths is for people who do arithmetic but haven't learned English. Anyway, the losers are the people who watch it and think the panel are expert at anything except perhaps cockfighting. And now they're the losers. The winner of the week is Blake Griffiths. Griffiths. And he's an AFL Adelaide supporter, can't be helped. But he now has a tattoo of Taylor Harris kicking that goal on his forearm.
Ah.
He has it right there, doesn't he? There's a there on the inside of the forearm, and which is a top gesture. And Taylor's in the photo that he's got tattooed, and he's in the photo too, and he's looking very pleased. And he says his wife isn't at all keen on the on the tattoo. But
his current wife.
That's right. But I'm sure after 50 years or so of happy marriage, she'll eventually buy him a long sleeve shirt and it'll be happily ever after.
Tommy, who were the winners and losers?
Look, I couldn't be more excited. All this talk of AFL. The round started last night. Big weekend this weekend as an AFL lover and as Swans ambassador. Plus, as an American, baseball season coincides with the start. So baseball season has just started. AFL season has started. This is when, in my opinion, life has started. And because...
this makes me so happy, I'm starting to question my adulthood again.
And obviously your loser is your wife in this time.
My loser? My loser.
You're going to be watching so much sport.
No, that's why I'm a loser. I'm a loser because I gave up Foxtel. And I'm
really?
Sure there are other ways to watch sport on television, but I have yet to figure them out. So while I'm excited about the season, I'm also excited about what it was like to love the AFL in the 40s by listening to it on the radio exclusively. So I'm looking forward to your good work.
Well, welcome.
Please keep it in. So
you had to cut down on bills, did you, following the arrival of the water bill?
You make trade-offs. You make trade-offs. And my wife was all like, sanitation, and I was all like, footy.
Please thank Tommy Dean, Gene Kitson, and Shannon Byrne. Thank you for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Next week, Rebecca De Unamuno, Mandy Nolan, and Gary Eck. Music from Georgia Mooney from All Our Exes and R.W. Grace. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. And thank God it's Friday!